from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
11 o'clock hour. Cody and Gold hanging out here. Appreciate you guys listen to the show as always, and if you're up to camp tomorrow, come by, say hello. We'll be, if you've been at camp, you know, we're kind of next to the, what would that be? Directionally.
That's not my strength.
Okay. Next to the bleachers.
By the wasps.
The tall bleachers, right by the wasps. Uh-huh. All the wasps.
Mm-hmm. The south stands, I think.
We're to the right of the hill where people stand to get autographs.
I think it's the south stands.
The tall bleachers.
Maybe.
Not the big long bleachers, the other ones. Not the hill on the other side.
I actually think it is the south stands.
I'm not going to pretend.
But stop on by if you're there. Say hello. We appreciate those that have done that. It's always good to talk to you guys. And training camp tomorrow is an actual real practice. Real practice. And good news on the injury front. Matt Derrick over at Chiefs Digest just put out a report. Good news. I'll just read the tweet. Good news for Chiefs wide receiver Justin Watson. Expected to miss only a few days of training camp with a minor foot issue, according to a source. Looked potentially worse on Wednesday when it happened. Yeah, if you have seen the video, his foot looked like almost got caught underneath. Like, you're wondering, it was much more serious, but a minor injury for Justin Watson. The one that we haven't got an update on is Nazee Johnson. I think I might have seen, was it Sam McDowell yesterday? After the show, I thought I saw that he mentioned that a source is telling him that it's a little minor as well. So hopefully that's the case, that neither Nazee Johnson or Justin Watson, who had to be carted off, but went up after practice on a cart. Hopefully it's not something. Yeah, Nazee Johnson's departure for practice was precautionary, according to Sam McDowell.
Especially after getting first team reps, because they've made it clear that he's in the number two corner conversation. They've mentioned him and a couple of others. So if both of those injuries are somewhat precautionary or minor, great news. Great news for the Chiefs, because Justin Watson, there's nothing to learn. You know what you have in Justin Watson. I always look at these injuries, the ones where it's like, oh no, 2 days without him. I'm like, great news, Xavier Worthy. You can get yourself strap and back on the field. There's some more snaps for you to have. Or I don't care if you're Nico Remigio or any of these other players.
I think just because of style and what role they have, I actually think in this case, it would be Remigio that would get a few more reps. But the good news, it's not a long-term thing. It's a couple-day injury. We probably won't see Justin Watson tomorrow, but maybe a day or two after that, Justin Watson's back out there. Big special teams guy. And he came up, I mean, someone they trusted. Someone they trust in this offense. He's making this team. We know that.
When we get there tomorrow, someone says they would like latitude and longitude.
Okay, we'll get that. Yes.
We get in there, we can just place a pin on it. Yeah. And then that way we can let you all know, like, down to the GPS
38
coordinate.
We'll get
38
these.
38 degrees north, 72 degrees south, whatever you guys need. We got you.
I think, officially looking at the maps, like, southeast end.
You were trying to go two directional, not quite that perfect. More of
a little southeast,
an in between, a diagonal cardinal direction. Got it. We've got it all figured out by now. I was thinking more about this Royals team. Look, frustrating game last night. We're going to get back into that in just a minute. What happened in that game last night? Still in a playoff spot. Trade deadline is now, what, like 5 days away? It's next Tuesday. So, like, we are right around the corner for it. According to multiple reports, things are starting to heat up in the trade department a little bit across Major League Baseball, and things are finally starting to kick in. I think if you are deciding how much the Royals should spend on this deadline, you have to ask yourself the fundamental question. And you know what made me think of this? Jeff Passan was on, he was on an ESPN show. I very rarely watch ESPN, but he was on an ESPN show, I can't remember which one now. And he was talking about how the Orioles don't have to do anything. The Orioles are so loaded for so long with everyone under control. They don't have to feel some infinite pressure to get the deal done this year. Their window of opportunity is massive, and it is. And so I asked myself the same question. How long is the window of this level of winning for the Royals open for sure? And sadly, I think the answer is only 2 years. Now, it could extend longer because Vinny and Bobby are young, massive. Like, they got a lot of young. The starting rotation is currently constructed. The reason why they are in a playoff, the single biggest reason, they're in a playoff spot this year, their rotation, has only maybe one known commodity in it after 2 years. We don't know if Brady Singer is going to get traded at the end of the year. That's been something that's been brought up before. He also just doesn't, he's not under contract for that much longer. Seth Lugo can opt out of his contract after one more season after this one. Walker can be done after this year. Cole Reagans is not locked up long term with this team. The entire starting rotation could be completely different 2 years from now. And if that's the answer, kind of makes me want to be more aggressive at the deadline. I'll be honest. The window of winning is not a guarantee after 2 years unless you can tell me what your plan for starting pitching is after 2 years.
But isn't that argument, though, what you're saying and the way you're laying it, does that mean that if the team is in a position like this again next year, isn't then next year the year you're aggressive? Unless you think Seth Lugo is just falling off the face of the earth next year. Look, I don't know if he's going to have as good of a year as he's having this year. That's asking a lot.
That would be cool. I'd be fine with that.
Does he regress a little bit next year? Maybe. I think probably he's a safer bet. But I don't think he's falling off a cliff. And so with what you're saying about the opt-outs that are looking into the future a little bit, and it's not that far in the future, then wouldn't it set up where next year you can make the stronger argument that you should be aggressive because then that could be the...
Next year I might have a longer answer, though. Maybe I lock up Reagans. Maybe I sign Singer.
But then you have some more clarity at that point. But Seth Lugo, after next season, he has a player option, and he'll be 36. Mm-hmm. And so if he has another really good year...
He's not a long-term answer no matter what, really.
Right, but it's a $15 million option. Now, because of his age, if he's not great next year, then he'll gladly take the $15 million.
If he has another good year, then he's gone.
At 36, he'll be gone. Michael Walker after this year, we'll see. I mean, what his decision making is
at this point, you think he'd probably pick up the option? The only guys who are guaranteed to be in the rotation 2 years from now, in my opinion, are Cole Reagans and Alec Marsh. And that's if Alec Marsh continues.
I don't even know if Alec Marsh is guaranteed.
If he continues, he's a lock if he's good enough. Does that make sense?
Of course.
He's in the rotation if he's good enough. He's under contract long enough. All of those things. And then you're taking guesses at who's in the minor. Like if you think Frank Mazzucato's coming up or Champlain or some of the other guys who might be available. You just don't know. You just don't know.
I mean, Chris Bubich next year could factor in.
Also,
Kyle Wright coming off the injured list. That's a complete wild card, but could also turn out to be another great pickup that the Royals organization under this current regime has made. That could be the guy we're talking about like Cole Reagans to a certain extent. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star, but just in terms of, hey, you made a move and you didn't really have to give up a whole lot, and suddenly this is a guy that can be a big piece of your rotation.
The window on the offense is longer, I'll admit. Maybe that helps your case. 2 years from now, Savvy's still going to be on this roster. I don't see any way he doesn't just play out four more years of the Royals at this point. So Savvy will be on.
But what's the production level at that point?
But I'll just assume it's still productive enough that they're keeping him on the roster, if that makes sense. Bobby Wood Jr. will still be on this roster. I think Vinny Pasquantino will still be on this roster. And then, there's more unknowns, but so many of these guys are young and controllable and... it just feels more predictive in a way than the rotation, which I don't know.
So you think they need to be more aggressive? I'm surprised.
In a way, yeah.
I look at this to me
because I'm not sure what the window is.
It's lining up more for for next year then? If this team is still in a very similar spot, like I don't think, knowing right now what it looks like the market is, which is a seller's market, and it might always be that now with the extra wild card spots. It might, every trade deadline might end up being a seller's market just because so many teams are in it. Right now it's pretty evident. Looking how close teams are in the AL and the NL, it's a seller's market, and so it's challenging to go out and acquire pieces without giving up a whole lot. Like, this is not 15 where it was, you know, 15, you were that close to winning a World Series. You were a piece away. Got to be aggressive to go find your utility man that can play everywhere. That's not the feeling. We all agree they need bullpen help. We would like another bat. But are they going to be able to acquire anybody that's putting them over the, getting them over the hump there? I don't think the answer is there. Like, there's no bullpen arm they're trading for that's just going to automatically plug in and be their closer. If they go and get another bullpen arm, it's going to be another guy that we're like, oh, you can kind of factor into the seventh
or eighth. And you have to look him up a little bit. You're like, what are his numbers?
And you're going to be nervous still at times. He's not going to be flawless because that guy doesn't exist. You're not getting Kenley Jansen. You know what I mean? You're not, whoever you think is the best closer in baseball, right? You're not getting Class A. He's on the Guardians, not trading them. Like, that guy doesn't exist.
I don't think
Class A is available.
You don't think Class A is available?
Something tells me they're going to hold on to that guy. Something tells me.
Also, I don't think Kenley Jansen's getting traded off the Red Sox.
That's what I'm saying. That's just like, those guys aren't, maybe there's one name that you're like, he could come in instantly. Well, that means the Dodgers or the Yankees, like these other teams are just have more to, the Orioles have a much deeper farm system.
That's what I'm saying. Their window of opportunity to win is way longer.
So yes and no, they have a better farm system, but if you're asking who should be more aggressive in the next 5 days, to me, Cody, it's the Orioles. They're already in first in their division. Two, Corbin Burns, the Orioles, is probably not back with them next year. Like, to me, they got it. They have this group, sure, and they're playing. And they're maybe the second best team in baseball.
Could be a more desperate year.
Yeah,
I understand. I'm saying it might be, you only have these 2 years, so you might need to be aggressive in both. I'm not limiting it to this year or next year, because if I thought the window was 5 years, Gold, if three of the five of their rotation members were guys who had just gotten up in the league in the last 2 or 3 years and still had 3 years of control, and I'm like, okay, I mean, take your time. What's the rush? Plenty more winning behind it. And there might be more winning behind this for the Royals. I hope that there is more winning behind this for the Royals. But because of the complete unknowns in the rotation, I feel like it becomes harder and harder and harder to predict that. I understand. But, you know, it kind of makes me want to be more aggressive. But again, the cost to buy currently is a bit prohibitive, which adds a whole nother element to this conversation. I just think it's interesting when you start looking at what the Royals' current window of opportunity is. I'd love for it to just be, it doesn't work this way in baseball, because if it did, then it would be the entire length of Bobby Witt Jr.'s contract is their window. Baseball doesn't work like that. You can't just have a star and be like, we're good, because we saw that the rotation is what actually makes the difference here. Have you noticed the same thing at training camp? The Chiefs are obviously off at training camp. We'll be back up at camp tomorrow. As Gold said, you can come say hi to us. Have you noticed a developing trend in the NFL? And I guess what I was trying to decide, if it's a one or you two thing, the number of players in NFL camps this year who are holding out for contract adjustments seems way higher than any other year. Trent Williams still has 4 years remaining on his deal with the 49ers, and he's holding out because he's like, numbers have changed. Math is different, dog. I'm going to need some new numbers. Give me a raise, or I'm not going to show up to work for a little bit. This seems, I'm trying to decide if this is just an adjustment to the 17th game and all the extra money coming to the NFL. So there is more money for premium positions than there should be, and they're just trying to get their bite of the apple now. Or if this is something we should anticipate all the time now, these holdouts over contract adjustments, not what Chris Jones did last year, which is a holdout for a new contract.
I love, by the way, where a phrase everybody's using now, like contract adjustments.
That is the most PC way
I want more money. I want a raise.
That's why I was out for 2 weeks. I was asking for a contract adjustment from Odyssey.
I just want a contract adjustment. Trent Williams, he's one of the best left tackles in NFL history. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, and he's getting old, and he knows there's not many more opportunities to get paid. And he's looking at the left tackle market, and he's saying, wait a second, I'm not like number one, number two, or number three. I don't know what he is now.
And but I'm not one of the top five, and I need an adjustment. Like, Patrick Mahomes can make that argument strongly.
Like an extra $1.5 million, extra $3 million. Like, contract adjustment. I think we'll see this a lot more. This year seems like there are definitely more players in that spot, and I don't know if that is
part of a Tyreek, just, I feel it, like. Somehow.
It's just the new trend, or it just happens to be kind of the current setup. Certain positions now are in that year or two frame.
I think the 17th game
market
could have been playing a factor here, because there's just more money in the league, more money to go around. Less of a percentage of the cap. This goes back to the Tua thing. People are like, $50 million for Tua. Look at the percentage of the cap.
It's the market.
It's the same amount of the percentage of the cap as quarterbacks are being paid before. What he's asking is not ludicrous. It's what is available from the totality of the cap available to the players. What's crazy to me is these players are like, I'm not getting paid enough. But you got like 3 years left in your deal. Pass. Try again. And yet somehow we aren't seeing that in Kansas City, because they did it for Travis Kelce quietly. They did a contract adjustment to Travis Kelce. They made him one of the highest paid tight ends again, even though he wasn't. So they kind of did that for him. That was essentially what his new deal was. But with Patrick Mahomes, he's been mum's award. What is he now? Like, on average annual per year, what is he, like the 12th highest paid quarterback at this point?
Eighth or ninth, if not worse, yeah. And after the Trevor Lawrence deal, maybe he has fallen outside the top 10. Well, two hasn't happened. Yeah, I know, but it does. Yes, yes.
Once these next, Jordan Love gets signed and Tua gets, I mean, where will he be then?
He will probably fall outside the top 10 if he's not already at that point. But you know, you said there's nobody on Kansas City right now. Well, think about it. The guys that are looking for contract adjustments are veteran players, not rookies who are looking for their first big payday.
Yeah, yeah. And Creed Humphrey's not looking for a contract adjustment. He's looking for an extension.
And so if you look at the Chiefs roster, how many vets are in line for a contract adjustment? Like, if you were Joe Tooney, there's an argument to be made, right, Cody? Joe Tooney's not a top five paid left guard in football anymore. If you really want, I mean, he's not doing this, but if he would be a player that could be like, I want a little, Quinn Miner just got, that would be someone that would fit that qual. Like, there's not many candidates for it, fortunately, for them. It would be somebody like, honestly, I don't know who else. Joe, is he like the only one?
On the current, Justin Reed, but he's on a one-year deal. That's right, you're looking for, but you're usually looking for an extension there, not that.
I said, there's not really
Hollywood
many.
Brown just signed it. It's like, can I get, you know what, actually, I'm seeing what wide receivers are making. I'd like a little,
but anybody that has
deal.
Multiple years left, that's a veteran. That's
it's working. Just Tooney or Jawan Taylor, and he's not a great time for him to ask for a contract adjustment.
He's also still paid like one of the top right tackles.
He is, because he just signed his contract. I looked it up, by the way. On average annual per year, Patrick Mahomes is currently ninth in the NFL.
So Joe Tooney and Patrick Mahomes are the only two contract adjustments where you'd be like, I kind of get it.
But like next year in training camp, is Josh Allen going to ask for a contract adjustment? He's currently like 11th. He's not the 11th best quarterback.
Is he going to win MVP this year and go to the Super Bowl? Then yes. If he doesn't, then no. You know what I mean? Like, things like that change it completely for a quarterback like Josh Allen.
We're in a mode because of the extra money in the league, the extra TV rights, and the extra game. And if they go to an 18th game, we're going to do this all over again. Everyone's contract who's under contract is going to want it ripped up. Like, everyone's going to want it ripped up, because they're going to look at wide receivers making $35 million a year and be like, yo, that money I signed for 22 is not good enough. That's not enough to keep me around. And look, I think that's part of what the 49ers are going through, because like all their players and everybody wants a raise. Trent Williams holding out. Brandon Ayuk was sitting out. Purdy's going to have to get paid here.
Remember, like, though, the veterans that are...
Like, should Christian McCaffrey be asking for more?
He just got a contract adjustment. No, his was like an extension,
His was an extension.
But, I mean, are they actually missing practice, though? Or do they just... Because if you're missing practice, remember, as a vet, you're $50,000 a day.
I think Trent Williams is paying, 50,000 a day.
No, he's made well over $100 million in his career, I think.
I would guess it's more than that, don't you think?
150 is my guess. Let's see.
I'm going to guess 175. I don't know why.
That's a strong number. I might be too low. I might be too low. Career earnings. So he just signed a 3-year 77. So I think I might be off here. Career earnings right this second. He has already earned 168.
Ooh, that was pretty close.
And he's got, it depends on how this contract thing goes. Potentially, if he plays out through 2026 and he's 38, if he plays that long, it eventually could be $245 million.
I like that he gets 3 years left on his contract, and he's like, no, just no, that's not like, and he's going to make $31 million this year, and he's like, more money, please. This is not going to do it. Now, he doesn't have guaranteed money left on his deal, and I think that's a huge part of what the problem is.
He was first team all pro last year, wasn't he?
He's the best left tackle in football.
He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. He's been the best left tackle in football for years. That's why I think the Chiefs were probably disappointed when
they tried to get him.
They try to give him the same money that they could be dealing with that right now with him. Be like, I'd like a contract adjustment. That is the nicest way to say, give me a raise.
And what's funny is you're like, well, what's
not going to work?
What would have happened if they would have signed him instead? Oh, you mean they'd be going for a three-peat? Huh. They're doing that already. It's all good. Worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, they won a Super Bowl with Orlando Brown Jr. As their left tackle.
They've been doing musical chairs at left tackle, essentially, in winning Super Bowls. Like, they don't.
Orlando Brown Jr. is who they ultimately pivoted to.
No, but they've played in. They've won three Super Bowls with three different left tackles. Like, right? Because the first one wasn't Orlando Brown Jr. So, I mean, they've won it. They've won three Super Bowls with three different left tackles. It doesn't seem like.
Who was that one? Eric Fisher?
For as much as we joke about, like, we need stability at left tackle, he won one with Eric Fisher, one with Orlando Brown Jr., and one last year with Donovan Smith. Left tackle hasn't exactly been holding this team up for years. That hasn't necessarily been the. I'm sure they'd still love to find their career left tackle and not have to worry about it, but it hadn't exactly been.
There's just not many. Problems. Drew and I were talking about this when you were gone. Like, there's just not many. Trent Williams is the exception. There's not. When we say, hey, long term option of left tackle, in some cases now that's four years. I mean, how many? And I don't. We didn't know the answer at the time. We didn't. But I was guessing there was maybe three, max four. How many left tackles have been with the same team and been a left tackle for 7+ years? There can't be that many. I bet you it's less than 5 or 6. Like, Trent Williams is one of them.
Penei Sewell will be one eventually? Because he just signed a contract extension with the Lions.
Was Bakhtiari with the Packers. I mean, is
Bakhtiari for a while. Tristan Wirfs maybe will. Again, not there yet, but probably
with
will
Tampa?
Be.
There's a couple.
Look where all those guys have been taken, though. Like, look at the guys who are legitimately career left tackles, other than, like, I don't know, Lane Johnson or whatever at the Eagles. It's probably two or three guys that you've talked about that are probably doing that, and the rest have moved around. Like, the rest have just moved around. Like, you pray to get your Laremy Tunsil or your Trent Williams or some of these other guys who have been hovering. But, like, Laremy Tunsil, he was drafted by the Texans, right? So, I mean, I guess he's been with them for 5 years now. Like, I mean, but that's, I've probably given you all of them, if we're being honest. That's probably the list. I can't think of any outside of that, of guys who do it. And those guys are never going to leave their teams. We talk about this with starting quarterbacks all the time. If you think you're going to just find one of the five
best... Tunsil was drafted by Miami. Remember,
he got traded.
So, yeah.
If you ever think... Yeah,
he hasn't been.
If you think you're going to find one of the five or six best left tackles just floating around, you're probably not. People kind of ripped him for that Tunsil deal. Thought they gave up too much.
He's been very good. Been very, very good.
Cannot complain it now.
Trash of the day.
All right, we go to Chicago for this one. Usually this vehicle, it goes across the country.
Is it the White Sox? Trash of the day?
Well, it could be.
The White Sox existence?
It could be.
They stink.
It could be the Chicago White Sox. We're going to talk about this later. Other than playing the Royals are one game above 500 against teams that are not the White Sox.
Good news, the White Sox are on
the schedule. That is the good news. That is the good news. A Wienermobile crashed into a vehicle and flipped on its side around lunchtime Monday on a busy Chicago area highway. I don't know if you've seen the Wienermobile in person before, tours across the country.
Didn't you say you got a whistle once?
I've taken a photo in front of the Wienermobile when I was working in Wichita.
I've never seen it in real life, only in photo.
I mean, it's a Wienermobile, you know?
How big is it?
Big.
It's bigger than you expect, I think.
Is it like, I don't know, like an RV size?
What about, you know about the length, though.
Length is good. They can just get inside you a little easier.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe the Wienermobile as well.
Sure.
I think that is. But yeah, there was traveling in the northbound lanes of Interstate 294. And it struck a Hyundai sedan. After striking the Hyundai, the driver of the Wienermobile lost control, overcorrected, and rolled onto its side. I can laugh because no injuries were reported.
Yes, yes.
That's why we can
laugh.
Fine. Backups were initially reported, traffic resumed, and then photos and videos from the scene showed the orange and yellow Oscar Mayer Wienermobile being hauled away on a platform of a semi-truck.
All publicity is good publicity? Is that one of these arguments? Their statement was, quote, "We're offering ongoing support for our hot doggers, and we appreciate the support we've received from local authorities."
Hot doggers.
They have these people.
That's what they call the people.
It's basically an internship program in a way, and they pair
up the whole summer.
They pair up one or two people together, and they travel the country together all summer. They do media hits. That's why they stopped in Wichita when I was working there. This was over 10 years ago. But the Wienermobile uses six different hot dogs on wheels driving around the country at all times. Six Wienermobiles are out there. Now five, I guess.
There's a guy who wrote a book about it. Said it was the best job he ever had. Said he learned real life world skills, met people, got to travel overseas to bases in Europe. Said it was the best job he ever had was being the guy who drove the Wienermobile.
What do you do? I drive a wiener for a living?
Would you let me take a 3-month hiatus from this show if I could be one of the two people riding in the Wienermobile?
Sure.
3-month hiatus? I'll call in and talk to you guys.
We'll just take Cody and Gold on the road for 3 months.
And the
vehicle will be, I guess, the Wienermobile. I'm sure the bosses would love us just being out of studio for 3 months, driving across the country.
Probably
April, May, June.
I think we talked to the people that were involved in this when we were back in Wichita when they came in. I think they're saying how, like, they let us see inside the vehicle, and it's
some kind of tight.
It's an old school. I can't remember what the actual vehicle itself is called.
Like a van, sort of feel, and like one of those Astro vans.
No, it's very, very tight. Not a whole lot of room in there.
Oh.
Yeah. It's custom made. Let's see. The chassis is GMC, but there was like some other.
It doesn't look too bad. I'm looking at the inside now.
It looks like one of those Astro. It seems like it would be like one of those Astro.
It's built on a
Mini
Cooper S chassis, it looks like.
Oh.
Mini Cooper?
Now maybe they've upgraded them. Maybe they've changed it, but yeah.
These accommodations don't look too bad. I mean, you're definitely going to be in close quarters with this person.
There's different models.
These big, comfy captain's chairs look kind of nice.
No, they don't sleep in the vehicle. It's not like it's an
RV. There's a bed in this one.
Wait, they sleep inside the wiener?
I mean, at least occasionally. It says inside you find a sofa that turns into a bed, customized.
For like naps, probably. I mean, you're driving.
You know, sometimes, you're driving a little bit. I want to take a
But they're not staying in there overnight.
No. But, occasionally you might want like a snooze.
I feel like I'm surprised we haven't heard some story, though. You're telling me if they have like a male and a female driving across the country in a wienermobile, you're telling me nothing's been going on there?
Something tells me
there's romance. Somebody got married after
being. Somebody
got married after driving.
Hooked up in the wienermobile.
Oh, well, 1,000%.
Oh, so you're saying like two people got paired up and they just happened to get married.
I gotta be honest,
the time. Like they
we met driving a wiener across the country.
Yeah. Even if you were single, would that, I mean, you gotta be, like, if you were picking up someone at a bar and this was like, would it not be easy to pick somebody up to be like, do you want to go back and have sex in the wiener mobile? would that not be like, I think the temptation alone of the story would be far too great.
Sure.
Like if a girl said, like, hey, I drive one of the, and like, we can
what do you
you
want to see my wiener mobile?
I just don't know that there's,
oh my goodness.
Decisions made.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's the trash of the day. Up next, G-Shred Half Hour. Our friends over at BetQL, we're discussing one prop bet for the season, and it sounds like a no-brainer, but is it actually one? We'll explain that next for this season.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Chiefs Kingdom. This is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold. Every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Last week, it was the Taste of KC Taco, right?
That thing looked like heartburn.
Yeah, what was it? The quesadilla wrapped around a hot dog with some brisket, with some fries, with some sriracha Cracker Jacks. Someone did send me a photo, I think they tagged you too, of, like any advertisement, the photo versus the
result.
Result
was not good on that one in particular. It looked a bit messier.
Mm. Well, that's what we all said with the taco, that one bite or whatever, and it's falling apart. But there's a new item from our guy, Vinny Pasquantino.
I love it. He apparently is going to have a stand in the stadium called Pasquantino's, like a concession stand, where you can get the Pasquich. Consists of shaved Italian beef topped with two slices of provolone, two strips of bacon, crispy golden brown hash brown patties, and some Giordano aioli. Oh, man. Okay. Buttered in a grilled brioche bun. Looks great.
It actually does look really good.
I'm dead serious. It looks like a fantastic sandwich. Mm-hmm. I'd eat the hell out of that thing.
Yeah, it looks really, really good.
Brioche bun is the best kind of
bun. We just need a drink. We need a Pasquantini. You guys remember the Cardinals announcer a week or so ago that messed up?
We need a
Vinny Pasquantini to go with the sandwich, to go with the Pasquich.
Okay, so obviously I got to do some sort of Italian liqueur, right? Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's basically what they're doing with the sandwich here. They're leaning in here. Very fitting that Vinny's sandwich is the
Italian.
Look,
we don't have our next two Club 610s are not at a convenient time for me to be making us martinis. I think we should make it with either Campari or limoncello.
I've had limoncello. I don't know if I've
had. Aperol's an also available one, or amaretto. But there are plenty of Italian liqueurs they like to drink. There's just many options. I think limoncello, because you got kind of maybe like a sweeter cocktail, and it's summertime, and he's a baseball player, so it should be like a summery cocktail. I'm thinking some martini with limoncello in it. That's what I'm leaning towards here.
Pasquantini.
Right, is everybody on board with that?
We know how much the sandwich is. We knew the taco was $25. How much is the sandwich? What's your guess? Well, $13.99?
No. $18.
$18?
I mean, I don't know, man. It's stadium prices. They're crazy.
$13.99. Maybe I'm too low.
I got you over a barrel. You're probably just charge you whatever you want.
Well, $16.99. Like, yeah. $15.99, $16.99. Maybe I'm too low.
If you pair it. Maybe they Vinny's have different drink options.
Vinny, can you get the stadium people to make us a couple, bring them so we can give you proper credit on the air?
I'm sure he'll get
can
right on
Can we get a
that.
Couple delivered to the station, please?
We tried to get the Taste of K tacos. I don't think that was going to hold up well. The sandwich
would be fine.
The sandwich you can wrap up and be good. But if you're, shout out to Aramark. If you want to bring by the Pasquich, we're all ears here. Yeah. To listen to that idea.
We have a strong branding coalition with Vinny Pasquantino. We've been fans of his since before he even made it to the majors. The Vinny song, the Pasquantino song, was before he was in the bigs.
True. That is true.
He's still a AAA player. Someone says Dusty needs to come back on Club 610 and make the
drinks.
Yeah,
that last Friday, we had a good one. He made...
what did he make?
So Cheyenne from Sales it came up for Club 610. She had never been on Club 610, so we had Lad, Cheyenne, Dusty. Bink was supposed to be here. We had a little change of schedule. And then Drew, obviously, was producing the show. And Dusty made something called Liquid Marijuana because that was the request from Cheyenne, and so it reminded you of a college drink.
Very good.
It was very, it just, yeah, I mean, it was
college drink, just like very, a ton of, it was like jungle juice, just like
carousel,
ton of fruit juice,
Malibu
I'm
rum.
I'm assuming it's quite green.
It was Malibu rum, a different type of rum with carousel, it was,
Just like a sugar bomb.
Jungle juice was great.
Drew loved
just an absolute sugar bomb. Did it have like melon liqueur? Did it have like the Midori or something?
I don't remember the exact ingredients. I know like the three main ones.
It was fantastic.
I'm sure. It's just like juice. It's like drinking juice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
It's one of those. Well, you're at the lake and it'll catch up to you. The next thing you know, you've had four of these. Then you're like, you're feeling
pretty
good.
And then once it hits, as soon as it hits, that'll. Yeah.
Anyway.
I can make us a drink like
that. The Royals continue to add new menu items. That's part of the fun. Of the season. If the team's not doing well, I bet you nobody's paying attention. There's no need to add the new sandwiches or tacos. More people are going out to the ballpark. More variety. And we'll talk about it more tomorrow, but a huge weekend series on the way. So
massive.
We'll do that. But let's talk some Chiefs. Chiefs Red Half Hour.
I guess so. Otherwise, I was going to say, I appreciate that Vinny is fully leaned into just embracing the Pasquatch thing.
He's got a necklace.
He wears a gold necklace with a Sasquatch on it. It's fantastic. Lean in. Don't fight it. Don't run away from it.
It's good marketing and branding.
Actually, we got asked. We got the old it's 6:10 day at the K coming up. It's like, hey, what are the things you're interested in doing? We've discussed this before. Do you want to do first pitch? Do you want to race in the hot dog derby? All the things.
Yeah. Did you respond yet?
May I request wearing the, can I wear the Sasquatch costume?
You want to be the Sasquatch. Yeah. I don't think they're going to give you that opportunity.
Why? It's just an outfit. I can't walk out a door.
By the way, that's a bold decision on your part. So it's been August. So 95
for the whole
degrees.
Game?
95 degrees. You are volunteering.
I'm volunteering to be the Sasquatch.
Sweat your ass off in that already smell. See, the costume doesn't matter to me. I can't smell. So the outfit could stink like all get out, and it is. I wouldn't smell it at least. So.
I'm in. I'll do it.
So that's what you want to do. You don't want to do the dirt. I told you I've retired from all condiment races. I've done a potato race at a minor league game, and obviously the derby last year that I won as ketchup. I'm retired from condiment racing. I don't need to do it anymore. Going out on top.
I'll do all of it. I'll do a couple of innings of the pass watch. I'll do the first pitch.
Oh, you want
every? I'll race in the hot dog derby. I'll do whatever you
need. Do all of it.
Why not do all of it? I'm just saying I'll do any of it.
I thought you were going to throw out the first pitch, and I was probably going to have to catch.
Maybe. I'm open to that. I mean, I'm assuming it's our show's turn. Kling threw out a first pitch, and last year it was C-Dot. Although he did get one-upped by somebody.
I feel like the derby this year should be Rob, I don't know if he's done it, new producer Mac, and maybe Drew or somebody. I feel like that's where, I feel like Mac's got to be in the hot dog derby. He's the newcomer.
If that's like the initiation, like what I did last year, I feel like, yeah.
Look, Bob's not doing the hot dog derby. I can almost promise you. I can promise you. So,
I told you I have to race it until I win. Maybe the rest of my life.
So then that is the one. Yeah, that
might be the rest of my life. 55 years old.
I think you're in the derby then.
I don't know.
I think Cody, Rob, and Max should do the derby.
I will
this
gladly
year.
Catch
Let
the first
Drew
pitch.
Throw
for you.
Out the first pitch.
Oh, I'll throw it.
I'm sure as hell not throwing it. I don't need that anymore.
I'll throw a first pitch. Yeah. Then you can be the Pasquatch. You're right. No first pitch. You should be the Sasquatch.
I don't think that's an option, though.
Let's make it one.
Anyway.
Back to the Chiefs. Yes. It is the Chiefs right half hour. You had mentioned BetQL was talking about passing stats.
Yes.
Yardage?
Yes.
Because I love Mahomes' yardage over this year. We can get to that later.
We've definitely looked at some of the prop bets. But no, they were having a conversation. Our sister station. It's our network here for Odyssey. We're on the betting end. BetQL. I do a show on Saturdays. But they have a nightly show, BetMGM Tonight. And Nick Ashew was talking about one of the Chiefs props that are out there. It's not an individual player. It's a team-wide prop. Listen to this. It kind of stood out, and I want to see if you guys agree on this being a good bet or not.
The Chiefs to score a touchdown pass in every single game is 6-1.
Really?
They did that every single game except against Denver last year. Remember that debacle they had in Denver?
Yeah,
Mahomes was just not Mahomes at all. The Chiefs to have a touchdown pass thrown in every single game is 6-1 right now.
What do you guys think about that one? He mentioned last year, I guess I would assume they get a passing touchdown
in every game, just kind of
all
regardless.
The issues last year with the receivers, all the issues, and they still almost did it, except for that random weird Broncos game. Here's the only caveat, because I'm with you. I'm like, oh, 6-1. This seems like a... On that betting show that I do in the fall, this seems like a Goldilocks.
Week 18.
But the problem is week 18. Can Carson Wentz throw a touchdown pass when they don't need week 18 and Carson Wentz is out there?
Probably.
Can Carson Wentz get you a touchdown pass? It might come down to that. And actually, yeah, I feel pretty good about that case if that's what happens compared to some other teams' backups.
So here's why I like that bet better than some others. Like, if you say, I think the Chiefs are going to win the division, well, you're going to get negative. It's like -250.
Correct.
You're not going to get any odds on it. If you say Mahomes to lead the league in passing yards, you're going to get around the same odds, around 5-6-1. You're not going to get significantly better odds for him to lead the league in touchdowns, for him to lead the league. You don't need him to do anything but throw a touchdown. Physically throw a touchdown. How many games do we think in Patrick Mahomes' career did he not throw a touchdown? Like four?
Yeah, it's probably only a handful.
Maybe. His first ever career game, right? Did he throw one against Denver? I think he went zero touchdowns, one pick, but like they scored a couple of scores. I mean, I'd rather do that than anything else.
There's two ways the bet doesn't hit. One, they've got it for 16 straight, and then the 17th game, Mahomes doesn't play, the backups are in, and for whatever reason, Carson Wentz just doesn't get a touchdown. And the other one with any future bet is if Mahomes were to miss games or something, right? I mean, those are the only way I can see it not happening. The Chiefs' offense last year, as bad as we all thought it was, they still almost had a passing touchdown in every single game. So yeah, 6-1. Now, are you willing to wait 5 months for it? That's the thing. Like any long-term bet, you gotta wait 5 months to find out if you're cashing that ticket.
I think it's the same as like betting a yardage total. Like if you think it's a lock, then it's a lock. Again, one weirdo game last year is what prevented it from happening. And again, I would tell you that if Mahomes starts, and he's gonna start at least 17 of the games, so you're good there. There might be maybe a handful of games. You like their offense better. You like their ability to score better this year. It should be a better odds bet than it would have been going into last year, and they're telling you can get 6-1. The problem is any long-term season-long bet for the Chiefs, I can't get way better than 6-1 on. I can get even money on any yardage total, right? Touchdowns, right. Whatever. If I want them to lead the league in those things, I'm not getting better than 6-1. If I want them to win the division, I have to borderline pick them to win the AFC to get odds.
Their odds to win the Super Bowl are basically that.
Yes. So
seriously,
like, why wouldn't
6-1?
Like,
I think, look, to win the Super Bowl.
I do think they got a really good chance to win the Super Bowl. But isn't it a better bet that he just throws a damn touchdown than wins an entire Super Bowl? You're asking for way more games. Less. You're just asking for way less.
And by the way, we're all talking about it as if Mahomes has to throw the touchdown pass. That'll be 99% of them. But if for whatever reason there's
a double reverse and Tony throws it up, it counts.
Like it, or they go with what was the name of the play where Dontari Poe, what do they call it?
Hungry Pig Right.
They could do Hungry Pig Right, and it still counts as a passing touchdown.
I kind of feel like they got to give Travis Kelce one more time before he retires to throw a pass. He's done it a couple of times, and it's gone horribly. Unless you count the pass he pretty much threw to Tony that didn't count.
Yeah, that one's still sad.
I'm so bummed about that play. That was such a cool play. But he's thrown a couple, and they've been picks. He's not thrown, it's not great, his throwing. But I feel like they got to give Travis Kelce one shot to get a passing touchdown in his life. I don't know. I feel like you just owe it to him. You got to put it back in the playbook. But yeah, I don't care if it's, it can't be Creed Humphrey. I don't care if it's Trey Smith who throws a touchdown pass. If somebody throws it, which
the only way it's
like
Creed Humphrey is they do what they did in one of the games last year where they have, Joe Tooney was center and Creed moved over, or who was it? Was it Tooney that played center?
Yeah, Tooney played center and Creed moved over.
That's your scenario where somehow Creed Humphrey catches a pass.
Chiefs Panthers.
They switch him to guard and what's that?
Chiefs Panthers game, perfect opportunity for something like that to happen. You're blowing him out. Why not?
It would be really fun, and I know why sports books don't do this. There's no point. Although they would probably just get to hold on to your handle forever. I'd like to be able to place a bet on, like, was Creed Humphrey ever score a touchdown in his life? and then you just give me 500-1, and it's just like if he ever manages to like recover a fumble and fall into the end zone, they move him to guard, and if he ever finds some magical way to score a touchdown.
If you made that bet right now, how many years do you have? 10? 10 more?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
10 more years for that to hit?
Oh, someone mentioned Kelce threw a touchdown against the Steelers in the playoffs. I kind of forgot about that.
You just need to be like a fumble recovery in the end zone for a touchdown. That's what you need. Forget throwing him the ball.
For that bet, yes.
Yeah, for that bet. You going to make it? Someone asked where you can make the bet.
Yeah, I think BetMGM has it. Why not?
Maybe.
6-1. Same odds basically to win the Super Bowl. I don't know what FanDuel has.
I mean, again, if you're... I just think if 6-1 is the same as winning a Super Bowl and you're asking him.
Yeah, here's the Super Bowl
it's
odds.
It's 3-4 less Chiefs games of variance.
Chiefs and Niners are both 6-1. So the exact same. The Chiefs to win the Super Bowl or the Chiefs to have a passing touchdown every single game. I'd rather bet the passing touchdown in every game. Same. Absolutely.
One, I get to cash my bet a full month and a half earlier, hypothetically, right? Way less variance, way less risk, and I'm only asking for a single one. From 913, Cody doesn't want to do the national anthem at 6:10 in the game.
I'm surprised.
They don't seem to offer that. I did sing the national anthem for you guys. Drew had sent me a message while I was on vacation and said, do you mind? And you don't have to because you're on vacation. Will you sing the national anthem? Because I'm guessing that one that went so horribly.
Yeah, we were talking about before it came out eventually that she was drunk and is going to rehab to obviously get some help. And at the time, we were all just like, what the hell happened during the anthem? And yes, that day, Drew reached out to you. We're like, this is your best chance to show that you're just like a Grammy-nominated artist.
It did not get played.
And it did not get played.
For that reason.
Because we, in the middle of the show, we found out more details and didn't seem like it was tasteful.
That seems fair.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she's doing
not in good taste.
Did you think it was good? Like a good rendition?
I didn't listen to it.
Oh, okay.
I just sang it and then I just sent it to you.
Oh, okay.
Did you feel like you did a good job?
I thought it was like a B effort. You know?
Did you get all the words right? That's the first part.
Well, I mean, I didn't, again, did not double check that. So I cannot emphasize, Drew sent that. I recorded it, I sent it on, and then I forgot about it until this exact moment. So somewhere in this system, presumably.
Drew told us after
there
the
is me singing the national anthem.
I told them the next day.
Drew did not tell us during the show that he reached out to you.
I was going to surprise them with one of the intro songs,
and then,
with that rendition.
The update came out about the singer and the reasoning. And we're like, let's not talk about that anymore.
That's fair.
I mean, it was awful, but yes.
It was, but at the time, you didn't know that they were also drunk.
Correct.
Yes. Which kind of changes the math on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
Would you do it, though, if you were asked?
Oof.
Over anything else?
Oh, wait, hold on. You're going to back down. You're telling me if the Royals offered you the anthem spot, you'd say no after all this?
I would do it, but I want to know like 2 weeks in advance. I want to be able to practice.
So it's like the first pitch
anthem
that I told you. It's like, I need advance notice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all. I need to know. You can't tell me the night before and be like, hey, real quick, someone dropped out of the anthem. You're up.
I think we would have that set in stone, though.
Not going down like that.
I think you would have at least a week or two notice.
Yeah, if I got a week's notice,
you'd practice.
Oh, I'd practice. I'd probably get a vocal coach. You never know.
Oh.
Got to do it right. What, you don't think I can get a vocal coach?
No, I like, if you're willing to pay for anything, you can. I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, you're really going to go through that effort.
If I'm singing a national anthem at a baseball game, yeah. The Royals might be in playoff contention. Like, the Royals are in the middle of a playoff hunt in August at the K? Yeah, I'm going to.
If you think about the obvious
of it. We still need these Crown Club tickets. We need to cash these in.
If you think,
we need to cash them in during the playoff stretch here.
Cody, if you think about it,
I don't think we're getting
though,
Crown Club tickets for a wild card game. Something tells me we're not getting. I guess that would be on the road potentially. But anyway.
Would you rather get it right or would you rather go viral? Because you would be the.
For
you,
the show's
you
purpose, I'd rather go viral.
You would be.
For the show's sake.
Someone says everybody listening needs advance notice. They do not go to that game. Well, you go to the game. Just show up a few minutes late. You go to the game.
Just right at first pitch.
Yeah, just don't be there a few minutes early.
Same theory applies. You sure you don't want to watch? Like, people look at car crashes for a reason. Like, they turn their heads and look at those things for a reason. Can't look away sometimes, so you never know, at least on that end. I had told you with... There's like, we're in the middle of the training camp stuff. And so what comes with that is like everyone's expectation for what should we get as a player? We were doing it earlier with Felix and Yudika Uzama. What would be a good year too? We can put hard stats to it a little bit later on in the show. I think people are not putting enough pressure on Rashee Rice. Now, look, I'll say that this is because I don't think he's getting suspended this year. I think he'll get suspended in 2025. I don't think he'll never get suspended. I just think based on the way the legal stuff is going down and now what time it is and what you start hearing, you're like, I think it's less than 50% he gets suspended this year. Not zero, but less than 50% it's this year and more next. He had 900 yards last year. He was a really good wide receiver for this team. In year two, under normal circumstances, we'd be saying, get me 1150, get me 1200 yards. Become the number one wide receiver. I don't think Hollywood Brown should outperform him. Because Hollywood Brown's only had one 1,000-yard season, 70 yards better than you last year. That was years ago. You're already on this team. You're already with Mahomes. Rashee Rice, this should be the year we look for him to establish himself as a top 30 receiver in the NFL, top 20 receiver in the NFL, 1,200-yard guy. Those are the expectations I think you should be hoping for out of him this year versus I think everyone else is just like, if you get to know 900, that's fine.
I think so much of that, though, and the feeling around him is still the offseason he had. Whether we're talking about the obvious of statistical adjustment based off of six games being missed or eight, and if he does get suspended or not, there's that conversation. But then when a player has a, let's call it a messy offseason, people aren't going to be as excited to talk about this big, another breakout type of season.
But we know this works. We've had players with messy offseasons still play well in the field. Those two things don't have to be connected.
Oh, I'm not saying he can't play well. You're asking why is nobody acting and talking about him having a 1,200-yard season. Yeah. I'm saying I think it's because of
talking about his car wreck?
The offseason and all of that, and that's not where the focus. Plus, there's a ton of excitement about Hollywood Brown coming in. I think that's what it is, and maybe some people think the ceiling is kind of what you saw. I think Rashee Rice is capable of being an 1,100-1,200-yard guy. That's his ceiling. But also look at this offense and the weapons. Travis Kelce is still here. Your number one option. Let's hope he's healthy beginning week one. He wasn't last year. So you could have a healthy Travis Kelce, hopefully, for the majority of the season. And now you have a real deep threat in Hollywood Brown. We're going to learn about X, as everybody was calling X now, going forward. And then you still factor in what you already had in the backfield last year from Pacheco. Like, I just think there's just people are heading into the season with an expectation that across the board, there's more options for Mahomes. Whereas it got to a point much of the season. Outside of Kelce, Rashee Rice was the only other player he could target and trust. There might be, if all goes well, two or three other players he trusts. And so does that shift it? I think Rashee Rice is going to have a 1,000-yard season if he doesn't get suspended. I'm with you. But I don't think he's taking the leap and becoming a 1,300-plus-yard receiver and suddenly being a top 15 receiver in the NFL.
If he plays a full 17 games, it's disappointing if he doesn't get 1,000 yards. That's a disappointing year.
I would agree.
The other part about this, and you're right, like there's probably more yardage for Kelce. There should be more for Hollywood Brown than anybody who was their number two wide receiver last year. But I also think there's like 1,200 more passing yards in this offense than last year.
Could be, yep.
Dude, he finished with 1,100 more the year before.
But if there's 1,200 more.
He finished with a career low 4,000. I'm sorry, second career low because the other season he was hurt. 4,183. The year before he finished with 5,250. But there's a lot more yardage to be had.
Let's say there is 12. We'll just use the number. Let's say there's 1,200 more yards to be had. Okay, so what did MVS have last year? 5-something?
I don't know.
Was it? Okay, let's just.
I think the second leading receiver might have been Justin Watson on this team.
Okay, but let's say, so MVS is gone. Let's say you're going to look it up. 500 yards, something like that?
I'm looking it up now. Let's. This is going to help us give a reference point. Yeah. Because, again, we can just pencil MVS's numbers to somebody else. I don't really care.
Well, no, but I don't.
Scrolling. Oh my god, why does this take so long? Is this good radio? Do you want me to like go faster? Now I gotta click.
315 yards. So yeah, 315 yards last season.
460 was the second leading receiver in Justin Watson.
Okay. So you had three, so what I'm saying with MVS, so you had 315, if my number's right, in front of me.
Yeah.
And Hollywood Brown, let's just say I'm gonna slot Brown for MVS because one's got okay. So and I'm bullish on Hollywood Brown. I think he can be a 1,000-yard receiver.
Well, I think he's more like 9, but let's give him the 700 for the sake of the argument.
600 or 700 more yards potentially are there. And then you add in Worthy. Now what's the adjustment? Is he getting Justin Watson numbers this year in a perfect world?
Let's just say he has a great year and he gets there's the 1,200-ish, I guess. But
it's
like,
not hard to get there with even those two, I guess is what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be Rice becoming 938 to 1,270.
But I guess a lot of it for me is like I think it's over optimistic to say 1,000 yards there, which is fair. And look, maybe you think Kelce gets a few more, which is crazy. But like Rashee Rice, all I need to do to get to 1,200 yards is get 250 out of there. I don't have to claw every last number out of the book in order to get there.
Do you think Rice averages 6?
I could drag a little bit. And that's asking McColl and everything else.
Yeah, he has to average. If Rice plays in every game and there's no suspension, you're talking about 60 yards.
Yeah.
On average.
That seems right in his wheelhouse. I mean, that seems perfectly along.
But I'm saying,
last year he averaged 58.6 yards per game.
Sure. But that's also for Brown. I don't think that's a crazy benchmark for Brown. Yeah, the targets won't be the same for Brown as Rashee Rice. But Hollywood Brown, if they're going to really have this emphasis on the deep passing game, Hollywood Brown could have two or three catches a game. But if one of them is for 40 plus, like you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to take much to get to 60 if he's truly the deep threat guy.
True.
That's the fun part about seeing how this is going to play out this
year. The toughest thing I always have, and we've talked about this before, the toughest thing I always have with Hollywood Brown is he's like the 60 yards per game. He's done that once in his career. That was the time he had 1,000 yards and he needed 150 targets to do it. I'm having a hard time making the leap to just be like, I'd be fine. Like we said, 1,000-yard season. If it's below that, I'd be disappointed in Rashee Rice. I won't be disappointed if Hollywood Brown has a 900-yard season. I'm okay.
Well, like, sure.
I don't think it's a
neither would I.
I don't think it's neither a disappointing year. So like, I just have more expectation for Rashee than Hollywood. I just feel like growth is what I expect in year two for a guy who had that good of a rookie season.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending and back into the existing bullpen issues. The same ones I think we were talking about in May, but they showed themselves again yesterday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.